This is Talk Radio 77 WABC. Coming up at 10 a.m., it's Brian Kilmeade.
I will tell you, there's no smoking gun here.
Then at noon, Curtis and Juliet.
For 3 years, he has been calling the NATO alliance a bunch of jokers.
But right now, it's Bernie and Sid in the morning on the world famous
Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Jones out of the gun. Hand off Gallman, runs right into... No! Jones keeps it! He runs left to the 20! 10, 5, and he's in for the touchdown! 34 yards for Daniel Jones! He faked me out again! The Gallman and Jones goes around the left end, and this time he doesn't fall down, and it's a giant touchdown.
Dream come true. It's as a kid, always dreamed about, being a Masters champion.
It's okay.
It's hard to talk.
You've earned this right.
But, it's just incredible, obviously, as you can tell.
I like dreaming. Because dreaming can make you mine. I like dreaming. Closing my eyes and feeling fine. When the lights go down.
Yes. Dreaming on a Monday morning here in New York City, 6:08 a.m. Welcome back to the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show on Talk Radio 77 WABC. You could do a little dreaming this weekend. There was a time when Dustin Johnson was a little boy and he said to his dad, he said, "Daddy, one day I want to play at Augusta. One day I want to play at the Masters." And way back when, he was just dreaming. And then yesterday afternoon at about 3 o'clock, Tiger Woods put the green jacket on Dustin Johnson, and that dream became a reality. The other cut you heard, of course, was Bob Papa, the voice of the football Giants, saying, "He faked me out again." Daniel Jones, the Giants quarterback, does a great job with that, making the handoff to Gallman, keeping the football himself, and running for touchdowns. And again, feels like you're dreaming if you're a football Giant fan like me. But at 3-7, 3-7, the football Giants are in the thick of it with a real good opportunity to win the NFC East. And you know that because when you pick up today's copy of our favorite paper, the New York Post, the front page of the paper, there's only one story. There's nothing about the launch last night, which is kind of silly. There's nothing about Rudy Giuliani or Donald Trump. Nope. It's all about the football Giants and their win over the Philadelphia Eagles. So on this Monday morning, Bernie, you're allowed to dream and have some fun.
Let me tell you, this Dustin Johnson dream, first of all, you can't really blubber as much as he did after he got the jacket, but he did.
No,
whatever.
I like that.
He had a Paulina Gretzky. This guy has Paulina Gretzky.
That's his fiance.
Yeah.
For a long time. They've been together for like 10 years. Wayne Gretzky's daughter.
He ain't exactly,
He's doing okay for himself?
He's doing all right, but he's no, who is the, he's no Tim Tebow.
No, he's talking about physically, he's not a great looking guy.
No. That beard's got to go.
I know, looks terrible.
Got to go. But anyway, congratulations to him. And you say the Giants are back in the thick of it?
Oh, right back in the thick of it.
You mean, is that what you could say, the thick of it?
Look at the NFC East right now. Dallas is 2-7. Washington, who lost again yesterday, 2-7. The Giants are 3-7, so they're ahead of both Washington and Dallas. And the only team ahead of the Giants are the Eagles, and they're 3-5-1. So the point is, the Giants are tied with the Eagles. Three wins, the most inside the NFC East. They are absolutely in the thick of things.
See what I'm trying to say? Never give up. What do I say? Do I say all the time?
Yes.
You don't wave the white flag until it's over.
Well, I thought about you yesterday talking about football. There was one ending that was just so improbable. With like 30 seconds left, the Buffalo Bills scored a touchdown to go ahead of the Arizona Cardinals. And the Cardinals got the football back with about 30 seconds left. No timeouts. Game, seemingly over. The last play of the game, Kyler Murray throws it up for grabs. 50-yard Hail Mary downfield. And in between three Buffalo Bill defenders, Cardinal wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins makes the most unbelievable, improbable game-winning catch ever. That's your Hail Mary. That's exactly what Donald Trump needs right now.
What am I saying?
A Kyler Murray Hail
what
Mary.
What am I saying here?
I don't know what
never,
you're saying.
Never, ever, ever give up until the fat lady is warbling.
Well, do we have Lizzo there? Because she can always... Hey, by the way, you say you never give up, but
it did sound to me for one quick second, and then, of course, he took it back, but it did sound to me like the president may have for one second kind of admitted defeat this weekend.
Yeah, it did for 20 minutes until he retweeted. He put out another tweet putting the kibosh on that. He did say he won only because, you know, the election was rigged. And then he says, well, I don't mean he really won. But look, the odds are against the president at this point. But they were against the Giants, were they not?
They were.
3 weeks ago. So, Rudy Giuliani is out there. And Sidney Powell, by the way, she's out there as well. She was the attorney for General Kelly. So they got all these legal challenges, and who the hell knows? One of the most interesting strategies to me comes from Alan Dershowitz, which is he says that Trump is going to prevail in the Pennsylvania lawsuit, which says that the state Supreme Court shouldn't be making the rules. It's the state legislature. Yes. And I pointed that out a long time ago as well. But what he says is that Trump's strategy is to deprive Biden from getting to 270.
Right.
So you deprive Biden from getting to 270. You don't get to 270 either.
Nobody wins.
And then it goes to the House of Representatives, where one state, one vote, and there are 26 Republican states, 23 Democrat states, and one, independent somewhere.
Right.
And the president wins the election. He said, this is Alan Dershowitz. This is his theory on the president's strategy. And he is not a Trump attorney.
Yeah, he's not. But it seemed like the last couple of years, we always say that. We always preface it with, he's not a big Trump guy. Well, he's a Hillary. But it seems like he tends to defend the president the last couple of years more than criticize him.
He worked for the president during the Ukraine impeachment hoax.
Yes.
But as of now, he's not part of the team.
No, right now, no. I did see Barack Obama not once but twice yesterday. You know, I woke up yesterday morning and I tweeted, you can find this at Sid Rosenberg, and I Instagrammed at Sid Rosenberg. I'm staying away from politics today. I'm done with it. Got up at 9:30 in the morning. I couldn't wait to watch Jim Nantz and Nick Baldo and all the guys on CBS at the Masters. I couldn't wait to watch the Giants. I watched football all day. I really wanted to just stay away from politics for one day. You know, I put on the Sunday morning show. I used to love Charles Osgood.
Oh, no way.
That's
a major mistake.
Big mistake. So Jane Pauley is on the show. And, you know, they play videos of babbling brooks and rivers and all these of the changing of the leaves and all the things you want to see this time of year.
Yeah, it used to be a nice.
It still is. They still have those.
Relaxing
those,
watch. But then once they start talking.
They throw stuff in there.
Jane Pauley, I mean, she displayed herself to be one of the worst during the campaign. I forget what she did.
She did something that was democratic, very liberal. Jim Gaffigan does this stuff too.
Very dishonest.
Yes. So Obama was on with Gail King. You want to talk about, you want to induce vomiting, like you don't feel well, you stick your finger down your throat, you get on your knees by the toilet and try to induce vomiting. Just watch Gail King and Barack Obama. So I got through it.
I'll give you one word. He sat down with Oprah Winfrey, too. He's pushing a book, obviously. He was on 60 Minutes last night.
Right. He was everywhere.
Yeah.
He keeps yelling and screaming that Donald Trump needs to concede because the virus, of course, is doing record damage at this point, and Biden needs to get in there, get his team prepared. And every day that Donald Trump stops that from happening, he's causing more and more Americans to die.
Yeah, sure. And Biden's guy is Ron Klain, who said, and I will repeat this till the cows come home. I won't play the clip and bore you with it, but he said that they totally screwed up the swine flu response. We're only lucky we didn't have millions of deaths because it wasn't as lethal as the coronavirus. But by the way, 60 million people were infected by the swine flu. So it was a big deal. It's just that a lot of people didn't die.
Right.
And Obama's also saying that the reason why Trump was elected in 2016 was racism.
Yes.
He's actually pulling out the race card here.
I know.
And Biden just won. I mean, this is the kind of magnanimity you're getting in the classlessness on the part of Obama. 9 million Obama voters switched and voted for Trump. 9 million, which pretty much put him over the top back in 2016. The ones they voted for Obama twice, were they racist?
No, I don't think so. Hey, two local stories we're going to cover, too. One includes Andrew Cuomo, and he is ready and set to sue Donald Trump if, in fact, the president does not make the vaccine available to New Yorkers. That was Cuomo's threat.
Well, he finally decided on a reason, on a rationale. He started this, last Thursday? Wednesday, when the vaccine was first announced. I will not accept Donald Trump's distribution of this, so we will do some investigating first. And so the president said, okay, we won't give it to you. And then he caught a lot of heat, went on MSNBC, CNN, do some damage control. Still didn't come up with a good reason. Said, though, that the morning I get it, I will start distributing it that afternoon. So he backtracked on the whole thing. Then he decided yesterday the reason why he doesn't like Trump's distribution plan is that it's, wait for it,
racist.
Yeah, that's right.
He mentions 90 different things that are a virus,
but this is
including
the,
racism.
Racist because it depends largely on drugstore chains like CVS, which are underrepresented in black and brown communities. He finally figured it out, though. It took him 5 days to figure out why he's going to resist Trump's distribution, which, by the way, is being handled by Admiral Jawar and the military and the NIH and the CDC, not President Trump and Jared Kushner and Don Jr. And Ivanka.
Last one, a local story, which Lydia will talk about quite a bit during her Lydia Report segment coming up at 8:25 this Monday morning and every weekday morning. This Marcus Ventura, he's the guy that knocked down actor Rick Moranis on the Upper West Side. And the more you read about this story, I know Curtis also talked a lot about it this weekend, the more you start to see, as bad as a guy he is, and he's a bad guy, he's been doing these unprovoked attacks in and around Central Park for quite some time, that the system has really let this guy down. So once again, this story, the Rick Moranis story, more evidence of a broken system.
He was sucker punched. Of course, it was a white guy in a MAGA hat. Remember that?
Always is.
And there was a subway conductor yesterday, a female subway conductor, sucker punched in a similar fashion. But how many of these cases, how many of these episodes are occurring? And people don't even report it. The only reason why you know about Rick Moranis is because he's Rick Moranis. How many of these things are going on out there? You had that same guy, as you just pointed out, on the subway train. He attacked a couple minding their own business, a white couple. He's a white guy in a MAGA hat. He had a knife, and he was released on a desk appearance ticket. And then he attacked somebody else, another desk appearance ticket. So he had two episodes because he was released on that April attack on the couple in the subway. He subsequently attacked Rick Moranis and another person because he was constantly released on desk appearance tickets instead of being held for assault on high bail.
Assault, and obviously this guy is crazy, so he may not need prison. He may need to be behind, you know, four white walls and a white jacket. But regardless, he shouldn't be walking the streets, and it shouldn't take Rick Moranis for us to figure that out.
No, it shouldn't.
Right.
No, and yes, he needs prison, too. I'm sorry. He needs to be incarcerated and treated while he's incarcerated.
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Three guests stopping by today. Rich Lowry will be here, the National Review. Real Tina is going to stop by. She was in D.C. She went there on Saturday, spoke to her yesterday. She had a blast. The Trump supporters were out in full force, man. If you're a Trump supporter like you, Bernie, that had to be beautiful to watch. She's going to join us, and of course, our owner, John Katsimatidis. He has his thoughts on the latest election stuff coming up in the 8 o'clock hour as well. So it's a great show today. So many feel-good stories, and it's always in New York, so many feel-bad stories, all that and more. Welcome back to Bernie and Sid on this Monday morning.
Oh, yeah.
Mom's got a squeeze bottle she wears on her chest, and when her daddy comes home, he never gets no rest, 'cause she's playing all night.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show.
And the music's all right. Mama's got a squeeze box, and it never sleeps at night.
You think there's some double entendre intended in this particular song?
I would say so.
Listen, we're heard everywhere. Is the Bernie and Sid Show on the 77 WABC app, simulcast out on Eastern Long Island News Talk 107.1 FM, where, by the way, I tell you, it was some rough weather last night. Some rough weather. Ooh, I tell you, it wasn't easy. You got cats, squirrels, garbage cans flying all over the place. But it's all right now. You know, it's all right now.
You're right. New Jersey also got hit with tornado effects last night. And talking about that show coming up at 10 o'clock, our buddy Frank Morano, he hosts the first hour from 10 to 11, and I will be his first guest coming up just after 10 o'clock later on this morning on the FM side.
Get back to the weather in a second. Frank Morano has a great show from midnight, I believe, to 5 o'clock or 1 o'clock to 5 in the morning.
Overnight.
It's 1 to 5. It's called After Midnight.
Right.
And a guy called in, And he had actually had a funny line. He called in at the end of the show, and he goes, the only way Trump will get to 270
if he loses 50
is if
pounds.
He loses 50 pounds.
Yeah, that was all over Twitter about a week ago.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
I tell you, you see, that's
funny.
Why I stay off social media.
Well, that's funny, though.
I should get back out.
You would have known about it.
By the way, the only reason I know that there was violence at the Trump rally in Washington, D.C., I mean, a lot of violence,
yeah.
Because it was all blocked and censored by the news media. Is because of Twitter. I went on Twitter last night at about, midnight or something, and I saw all these videos. I couldn't believe it.
Antifa at their best.
The fascists.
Yeah, Trump called them out. He did a good job of that. But they were there, and they were looking to cause some trouble, and it didn't get nearly as ugly as they wanted it to because they were cowards. What they did was they showed up late in the day because they would have gotten their asses kicked early in the day.
It would have been a massacre. But that's the only way I found out. The only way I knew, I saw these horrible, horrific videos and groups called, a group called Refuse Fascism.
Yeah.
They call themselves exactly what they are. Very brilliant, just like Black Lives Matter. How can you disagree with that? They don't care about Black Lives. They care about Marxism and all kinds of other agendas that they have. And the same thing with Antifa, anti-fascist. Excuse me, that's exactly what they are with these brown shirt tactics. But I digress.
But it's funny because you mentioned if you didn't go to Twitter, you wouldn't know about that stuff. That's why I do go on social media every day. Part of the reason, the other is, of course, I'm a junkie. But the news, for example, Sunday morning talked about the violence at these events led by the Proud Boys.
Yeah, that's what they kept focusing and harping on in advance of the rally. White nationalists, Proud Boys. By the way, the Proud Boys is run by a guy who's half black and half Mexican. So stop with the white nationalist crap. His name is, I forget. It's
Fernando Valenzuela?
Guerrero something. Yeah. I actually saw him on, he was being interviewed on Univision or something in Spanish.
Univision.
He's half black and he's half Latino. So stop with the, so anyway, the media focused on that. But as far as the tornadoes go, I had the TV on last night, and you had that old school.
Oh, this is a public service announcement. There is tornadoes in western Nassau County and central Suffolk. Please put your cats and dogs away and stay inside, all this stuff.
So it was kind of scary, but it passed by quickly. And about 54,000, they say 54,000 people are without power. But when you say 54,000, people, you mean 54,000 families.
Homes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So you have to multiply. You don't say
it could be
people.
200,000 people.
Exactly.
Right.
And businesses or whatever. But the silver lining to any lockdown that might come, I have to tell you, and they're at it again. Governor Cuomo finally found his rationale for opposing the Trump vaccine. But and the usual suspects are at it. The governor of Washington, the governor of Oregon, and the governor of Michigan, they've all announced severe lockdowns. The same three usual rats, the lockdown rats, they're itching. Governor Cuomo is itching to do it right here. What are we? Are we still? We're still under 3% in New York City.
Yes, it actually went down. It was 2.88% on Friday, and I think it's now closer to 2.5%.
That's terrible news for
yes.
the lockdown freaks, the lockdown tyrannists, the lunatics. But the only civil, I remember back in March when this happened, March, April, May, was that there was no traffic.
Right.
There was no traffic.
Like that.
So coming in and out
was great.
Sweet. It was
nice. I used to go from the Upper West Side to visit Mike Sullivan in Breezy Point and door to door in like 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Now I'll be lucky to do it in an hour and a half.
Exactly. I come to work, and by the time I get here, I'm stressed out. I mean, the traffic is back. I come down to Grand Central, and I make my way weaving in and out of traffic doing, 70, 75. And then I have to get off at 31st Street. Get off at 31st Street and cop a left to make it to the 59th Street Bridge because I don't take the Midtown Tunnel, which costs, about $10 each way, maybe 15, whatever the hell it is. So I go down 31st Street, which is 25 miles an hour and one lane.
Oh.
And you get some clown in front of you, and it could be like a food cart.
Get that.
You talk about stress. And God almighty, it's just – anyway, that will be the silver lining. But Governor Cuomo, he did mention last week, I will not accept Trump's vaccine because the distribution, I got to check the whole thing. I don't even know why. I don't know. And he got a lot of heat for it. He's going to put New Yorkers' lives – that Trump is he's politicizing the vaccine, and then he did some damage control on MSNBC and CNN on Friday night. This is what he said.
The day they they distribute the vaccine, we will be ready to start the distribution. Our review of the FDA protocol will be simultaneous, concurrent with their delivery. We're not going to have any lag in time.
That's a complete flip-flop from what he said. That's a complete and total flip-flop.
180, complete 180.
And then he spent the rest of the weekend trying to figure out a way to come up with a rationale for not wanting to distribute the vaccine, and he finally did. He finally did. This is what he said. Play this one on the he says that the distribution plan depends on chain store pharmaceuticals, and that's racist because they're underrepresented in black and brown neighborhoods. This is what he said.
We need to make special efforts with the vaccine to reach the underserved black, brown, and poor communities. The private market alone will not do it. The president talks about CVS and Walgreens and national chains. Sure. But they are mainly located in rich communities, not in poor communities.
That's why. That's because maybe they burned them down in some of these poor communities where you allow them to riot. You don't suppress the riot. But it took him all weekend to come up with. That's what he was. He was scrambling, and he was trying to explain CNN, MSNBC. Finally, he came up with the rationale for blocking Trump's distribution on the vaccine. Racism.
Too easy. Too easy. Rich Lowry is going to be here today. John Katsimatidis is going to be here today. And Real Tina, fresh off her appearance Saturday at the Big March in Washington, D.C. Bernie and Sid on a Monday. Monday morning here, Bernie and Sid with you. Talk Radio 77 WABC, 6:45, the week before the holiday season gets started with Thanksgiving. 1-800-848-WABC, that's the number, 1-800-848-9222, your chance to talk to Bernie and I. Two guests coming up next hour, Real Tina, the, of course, social media phenomenon. Big-time Trump supporter. She was in Washington, D.C. on Saturday, joined us for a couple of moments on Friday. She'll be back today to tell us what that experience was like.
That they were listening to us at Newsmax on Friday because she made an appearance on Newsmax that afternoon.
Right, and Newsmax, by the way, in the papers today, Tom Hicks, who works with the RNC, a guy I guess that's close to Donald Trump, he's in talks to buy Newsmax, so we may get that Trump TV deal done sooner than later. He may be a part of that.
That media empire
right.
of the post-presidential Trump, if indeed he loses this election,
right.
May come to fruition. Maybe be already in the
works, yeah. Yeah. Rich Lowry coming up after that, then John Katsimatidis. You mentioned that Alan Dershowitz had this theory, at least, that they can get Joe Biden below 270, therefore he doesn't become the automatic presidential elect. I was just looking at CNN. It's on one of the many TVs you've got on in our studios here and outside of our studios in the newsroom. And right now, their numbers are Joe Biden at 306 and Donald Trump at 232. So he's way above the 270, 36. I mean, you're talking about a couple of states that would have to go away.
No, that is all uncertified, unofficial media stuff right there. That's not none of that has been certified.
No, I know.
Not
until December 14th.
Right. That's when they're hoping that he doesn't reach 270. According to Alan Dershowitz, he thinks this is Trump's strategy. And then, as I mentioned earlier, it would go if neither gets 270, it goes to the House of Representatives, where each state gets one vote, and there are 26 Republican states, 23 Democrat, and one independent governors. So the president will win if all the Republican states vote for him.
Gotcha. So COVID has affected us in so many ways. Again, Thanksgiving coming up next Thursday, and we've been warned by the Gestapo, Andrew Cuomo, don't have more than 10 people at your house, or they're going to come and knock the doors down and take grandma away and put her in prison and eat your turkey. So I was talking to my friend Brian Baldinger yesterday from Fox. You know Brian very well.
I love Baldy.
He loves you too. Long Island kid that's made it big, played in the National Football League, and now is a big-time guy on Fox. And I asked him, I said, what is the plan for the Super Bowl this year? February is the Super Bowl. It'll be in Tampa. By the way, maybe a home game for the Buccaneers, who won big again yesterday. And Tom Brady is having quite a season for the 7-3 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So maybe a home game for those guys. But I said, what's the plan? Are there going to be fans? Could you imagine a Super Bowl with no fans? And he said, well, right now the plan is to have about 20,000 fans in the seats. I said, what about the media? Everybody knows, of course, that Radio Row with the Super Bowl is the biggest media event of the year. Nothing comes close. Well, right now it doesn't seem like they're going to do something like that. It's just everything is so up in the air, and most people feel like whatever we're used to doing is not going to happen. I mean, it's kind of funny when you think about you and I 2 years ago in Atlanta, Georgia, for our Thursday and Friday shows from the Super Bowl before the Patriots and the Rams.
True, yes. I mean, it is. It seems like just yesterday, but it is fortuitous for the NFL that they designated Tampa because it's in the state of Florida with Governor DeSantis, where, by the way, they were the first city, actually. It was Tampa, I believe, that the first UFC fights started. That was the first sport to get back up and running, and it happened in Tampa, Florida. So if there's any state, conducive or to more accepting of having fans in the stands, which they should if you have a 60 to 70 or 80,000 capacity stadium, you could space people out easily. Look, they had the Joe Biden celebrations, a week ago Saturday.
Times Square.
People were all crowded together.
All over each other.
Nobody cared. So you could spread people out. If anybody can get it done, Governor DeSantis can.
But you wonder is that DeSantis' decision or is it Roger Goodell's decision? That's an NFL decision, really, not really a – would it be the state of Florida, that city of Tampa, or the NFL?
In other words, of course, the NFL would have the I believe they would have the last say. But
right,
Governor DeSantis, right, well, this is what you can do.
Right.
And Goodell will be the PC and, listen to these Biden lockdown lunatics. Or he'll do the right thing and allow some fans in the stands. But either way, the football games, the way they do it now on TV, I watch a little bit of it, and it sounds the same. They have the people cheering.
Yeah.
It looks the same. It sounds the same.
Well, a lot of them have. A lot of these games do have fans in the seats, about 20,000, but they're actually putting in the crowd noise.
Yes, right. So in other words,
you can't even tell.
If you're sitting at home, exactly.
It sounds like when the Giants score a touchdown, they actually play them.
It really does.
I know. So you and I don't care, and we haven't cared from the beginning. We've been very consistent about mask wearing, how we feel about this. You guys have listened from day one, even our old days back at Penn Station. But Meanie, to me, I'm not sure. Meanie hangs out with Ariel. Ariel wears a mask wherever she is, indoors, outdoors. God bless her. That's her decision. So, Meanie, if I said to you they're going to allow 20,000 people, fans, to go to Tampa this year for the Super Bowl, well, right now it looks like Kansas City may play New Orleans, and I have a ticket for you to go to the Super Bowl to sit in the stands with 20,000 other people in Tampa, would you take that ticket?
Absolutely. 100%, yes.
So you're not afraid of dying?
I social distance, wear a mask, you're fine.
He takes the subway, right?
Yeah, I take the
subway.
And
he's in here with us.
Oh, that's true. So he is a tougher guy.
And he's not wearing a mask right now.
No, he's not. You're actually a tough bastard. You know that, Matty?
Well, thank you.
But I would imagine Tampa is an enclosed dome, right?
No.
Oh, it's not?
No, it's outdoors.
Oh, even more reason to have fans in the damn stands.
Right.
And plus, Governor DeSantis, he wants to shoot the looters.
So
you'll be safe.
Yeah.
Perfect.
You can run over protesters in the street, and you can shoot looters. I'm going to Florida, baby.
That's the place. Well, you don't even like Florida.
If it wasn't for the flying cockroaches, the humidity, and the hurricanes.
Other than that, it's great.
I'd be there. Be there tomorrow, I've got to tell you.
I lived with all those things for 16 years, and I'll be back in December. This time of year is actually lovely down there. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Real Tina, Rich Lowry, John Katsimatidis. Another great Monday morning with us, Bernie and Sid. It is a manic Monday, isn't it, folks? So when I lived in Boca, I became kind of friendly. Friendly may be a stretch, but I got to know at least Joey Merlino very well. Joey's a mobster out of Philly. Spends a lot of time in Florida. He owned a restaurant down there, and Danielle and I would go to that restaurant. And Joey was always very, very nice. Well, there is a story surfacing. My buddy John just sent it to me on his way to get the fish on a Monday morning, that Joey Merlino, $3 million he received to produce 300,000 phony Joe Biden ballots. He got 10 bucks a piece. That equals $3 million in Philadelphia. But that he may be ready to flip on Joe Biden if, in fact, Donald Trump goes after him. Now, again, I know Joey for a long time, and I like him. He tends to exaggerate things, get crazy, involve himself in situations he may or may not have really been a part of his delusion. But at least that is a story breaking now that Joey Merlino, they call him skinny, because he is very skinny, was paid upwards of $3 million to produce 300,000 phony ballots in Philadelphia.
The plot thickens, Sidney.
Keep an eye on that one.
That, sworn affidavits, Dominion voting software tied to Venezuela and George Soros. Come on, it ain't over.
1-800-848-WABC. We've got all that, plus three great guests. And, of course, Beat Bernie and Lydia Reports all coming up today. I guess every superhero
need his theme music. No one man should have all that power.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid show. You got Kanye screaming at you first thing in the morning here.
Better than Joey Merlino screaming at you.
Skinny Joey.
Skinny Joey, my boy.
He's giving the Trumpers a lot of hope. Me.
Well.
People like me and the president.
Again, $3 million supposedly paid in cash for 300,000 phony ballots and ready to flip on Joe Biden. We'll see.
Well, we're going to get to that in a second. First of all, I just want to mention this is the Bernie and Sid Show. We're heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app. Simulcast out on Eastern Long Island News Talk 107.1 FM. But as Deb mentioned in the news, and Lydia will elaborate on, hopefully she'll name some judges, the guy who sucker punched Rick Moranis was actually apprehended on the Upper West Side. The only reason you hear about it is because Rick Moranis is famous.
That's right.
Otherwise, nobody would care. It wouldn't be reported. These things are happening all over this lawless city.
Well, him, this guy, Marcus Ventura, has now done this 9 times. Who are the other 8 people?
And he's gotten, what, desk appearances.
That's it.
By these judges and radical district attorneys who were subsidized by George Soros. By George Soros. Why? What is his business in the Bronx? What is his business in Brooklyn or in Philadelphia in helping get radical DAs elected? Why is George Soros doing that? These people who are allowing thugs out on the street to assault innocent people. Why would a guy do that? It just makes no sense to me. By the way, Mike Bloomberg is a mini George Soros, and I'm going to get to this also.
Thing.
He's actually down in Georgia. Pouring millions into the Democrats' Senate race. Millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, just like he did in Florida with the felons and all that stuff. I mean, why is he doing it? Does he not know what that would entail if, in fact, the Democrats take over the Senate? I'll get to that in a second. But over the weekend, it also was pointed out the front page of the New York Post, which this morning has the Giants, but yesterday it had all about the Upper West Side, the exodus.
We're leaving.
From the Upper West Side.
Well, it wasn't just the Upper West Side, but that was one of the three. You've got the paper there, I know.
Yes, that
talked about going to New Jersey and the Hamptons.
The Upper West Side is definitely the hot spot.
We're leaving.
For leaving. And the reason is, it's not because of corona. It is the lockdown. Some of the lockdown stuff is too oppressive, yes.
That's not
But
why.
It's because of crime. It's
Correct.
Because of Rick Moranis. I mean, there was also in Brooklyn, this is happening all throughout the city. Brooklyn yesterday, you had a black female subway conductor sucker punched by some thug, another white guy in a MAGA hat.
True, but some of these Brooklyn neighborhoods where this stuff is going on, not that it's okay, are not good neighborhoods. My neighborhood, you know, you pay $9,000, $10,000 in rent. It just can't happen there. And it's happening in huge numbers on the Upper West Side, which is a very high rent district. That's why people are leaving. Why am I going to pay $10,000 a month, have to walk outside on 96th Street and Broadway, and possibly get mugged, if not killed? That's why we're leaving, and that's why we're all going to Ocean Drive in Coney Island.
Well, they listed 20 hot spots, and a lot of them, I mean, that people are the destination spots. People are going to Nassau County. They're going to New Jersey.
Yes.
They're going to the Hamptons. They're going to Westchester County in Connecticut. So they're not fleeing to escape taxes.
No.
Because those places, taxes are just as high.
And there are more people leaving to go to Florida than all those places you just mentioned. They're talking about places where they stay in the tri-state area, but more people are just leaving the state and going down to Florida. That is a mass exodus down there.
And by the way, my hometown, where I live now, it's not my hometown, but Long Beach on that list of destinations.
Nice place.
Yes. Well, either way, people are fleeing because of this this smug thug governor and this buffoon mayor. And these violent criminals will be led out by the DAs and the judges like Marcus Ventura. I mean, that's absolutely it's so horrific what's happening. Well, a lot of people don't even report these crimes.
They don't, and you've heard this a million times from a million different people, but it works. You got to put the handcuffs on the criminals and take them off of the police.
Okay, where do we stand with the election? Finally, the press is starting to ask tough questions of the, as they call him on Fox News, and I do not, President-elect Biden. I call him still the old, the dotard Biden. Anyway, this is a tough question asked of Biden. He was on his bike. Take a listen.
Are you any closer to making a cabinet decision?
Yes.
That said, he's wearing a mask because he's riding a bike. that's a tough. Are you any closer? I mean, come on. It's really
well,
so bad.
Saturday. My phone actually buzzed. I'm out in the park on Saturday. My phone buzzed. And usually that means it's a big story, and it was that Joe and Jill Biden went bike riding on Saturday.
Yeah, this is it.
That's unbelievable.
Him and Kamala, just like during the campaign, silent, nothing, no questions, no appearances.
Well, today they are set to both speak on the economy.
Speak,
that's a big deal.
Or take questions. I don't want to hear a speech. I want them to take some tough questions.
Well, who would have to? But you'd have to have people there that would ask them tough questions.
Well,
who would do that besides you?
Let's put them out there and expose the media for asking puffball questions. Let's see if they ask the same type of questions they ask of President Trump. Of course, they will not. But either way, that's the point. This guy, he got elected somehow or other. He got elected. Not campaigning, not answering any questions. Doesn't make any sense. No down ballot, no coattails. But he got elected anyway. This president got, I think he got 9 million more votes than he got last time. He got more votes than any incumbent president in the history of the United States. And he still lost.
Well, wait a second.
Very, very strange.
Joe Biden got more votes than anybody in the history of the presidency.
Yeah. That
just so happens.
And yet, he had no coattails.
Well, it didn't matter because, again, we talked about this for months. It didn't matter. It was a vote for or against Donald Trump. Nobody was voting for Joe Biden. So Trump got 73 million votes. That's unbelievable.
But
Biden got 77.
When you vote, go all the way down the ballot. You vote right down the Democratic line. That's the way everybody votes. And
right.
It's very, very strange
or the other way.
That they just voted for Joe Biden and nobody else. And that's part of this Dominion machine stuff, which go to Rudy 3. Rudy Giuliani, he was on John Catsimatidis' roundtable yesterday, and he said a lot of things. Among other things, he talked about the Dominion software, Rudy 3 here.
This company has tried and true methods for fixing elections, like calling a halt to the voting when you're running too far behind. They've done that in prior elections. Now, what happened on election night? He was ahead by 800,000 votes in Pennsylvania. Impossible to catch up, unless you're cheating. And same thing in Michigan, Wisconsin. He was ahead in all those states by numbers that in prior times, and I can show this to you, networks would have called for him, but they didn't call it for him.
There you go. Well, of course, that was on Mornings with Marie. But he said the same thing on Catsimatidis' show yesterday morning. And speaking of Mornings with Maria, she is in the Trump camp. She is all in. And she switched to, well, she's actually still on Twitter, but she switched to Parler.
Yes.
Parler.
Well, they all did. So did Sean Hannity. So did all the big conservatives.
As soon as she switched to Parler, she got a million followers.
Oh, yeah.
A million followers on
Parler. By the way, Parler is P-A-R-L-E-R.
Yes.
Not P-A-R-L-O-R. But I've been asked by a bunch of people to go there, too. I got to tell you, I'm not conservative enough to go on Parler. That is for folks like Sean Hannity, Maria Bartiromo, maybe even you. That is not my speed, but yes, it is gaining momentum as we speak.
And we were going to have Real Tina on. She was at the Million MAGA March, but you just spoke to her. Her voice is shot.
Well, I texted her. I said, are you ready for 7:25? She goes, I have no voice. I said, perfect. That's what we want. We want you to come on all hoarse and rough sounding from screaming at the Trump rally. She said, I'll tell you what, call me now, and if you think I can do the interview, I'll call in. I called her. She's at least 2 days away.
Yeah, well, that,
as bad as you were that Monday morning after the rally, your voice,
that was
she's
me.
10 times worse.
That was me after the Trump rally.
No, she's
the
worse.
Sunday before the election. And so I understand that. But
get her out.
So we don't have a Real Tina, but I'll tell you who we do have. We have Janine Pirro, who is at Real Tina with a law degree and a TV show and
That's
a
funny.
Radio show here on WABC.
Very good.
This is Janine Pirro on whether we should wave the white flag and we should just unite behind Joe Biden, Jeanine Pirro.
And with all due respect, the left boycotted President Trump's inauguration. They marched in Washington in their pussy hats and had a hissy fit for 4 years. For 3 years, we heard he was an illegitimate president, that Russia tipped the scales in his favor, that he was a Putin puppet, that he was a fascist. He was impeached over a legitimate phone call. It was nothing more than a political move. The group that brought us resist, impeach, and burn down cities extorted us with their chaos. Oh, no. We will pursue all legal avenues where there are irregularities, anomalies, illegalities, and corruption. And until the certification and the electors vote, that is not a lot to ask. So don't you dare ask us to just accept it and move on. And don't you dare tell me I'm being un-American by questioning what even a Supreme Court justice has put a hold on. And don't you dare ask us to go quietly into the night.
Is she crazy? Does she want to lose a job at Fox News?
Every noon here at WABC Radio, WABC Radio, Jeanine Pirro, our colleague,
great.
Said.
And listen, that was fake news, too, because I was told at least last week that she was suspended and maybe fired
Sunday
at Fox
noon.
News, but she was back. She was back this week.
And by the way, her show was not live. I will tell you that. It usually is live. It was not live. I picked up on that.
Why was that?
I can only imagine that they was saying, look, if you say anything untoward,
right,
we're not going to put it on.
But that was a pretty...
I know. It was. But she didn't go after her own network. Like, for example, Mark Levin did last night. He had on Kayleigh McEnany.
Yes.
And it directly alluded to Neil Cavuto, the creep, cutting off Kayleigh McEnany. But let me just continue. In Georgia, the race is very, very important. They were making it all about Schmuck Schumer, who will get a promotion if the two Democrats win.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Because
He gets promoted to what? Give me an example of what happens to Chuck Schumer.
He takes over for what Mitch McConnell is now, the Senate Majority Leader.
He would be that.
And the Democrats control the Senate. They have the votes to pass all this crazy stuff. And this is what Schmuck Schumer said about that.
Now we take Georgia, and then we change America.
So they're making it all about Schmuck Schumer. Now, the guy running against Kelly Loeffler, who if you combined her votes with Doug Collins, she got 53% of the vote. This guy, Warnock, down the Democrat, he's a preacher, he's a hater, he's a Jew hater, he's an America hater, and he's a racist and all that stuff. He was on with Jake Tapper yesterday talking about talking about Chuck Schumer in particular.
Voters don't vote for politicians. This race is not about me, and Chuck Schumer's name certainly isn't on the ballot.
Now, he was attacking a Chuck Schumer because it's having an effect down in Georgia, what Schumer said, by putting his foot in his mouth. Now, this guy Warnock, I mentioned he's a Jew hater, an America hater. He actually ran his wife over in a divorce dispute earlier this month.
With his car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking
nice
about any of that, but he,
no.
but this,
nice,
and Jake Tapper didn't ask him about that.
No.
Didn't ask him about his affinity for Jeremiah Wright, who 6 months into the Obama administration blamed the Jews for blocking his access to Obama.
Yep.
And that Jew would be Rahm Emanuel, who was Obama's chief of staff, among others, I guess. But this is what Warnock said about Israel. This is in 2018. Take a listen.
We saw the government of Israel shoot down unarmed Palestinian sisters and brothers like birds of prey. And I don't care who does it. It's wrong. It's wrong to shoot down God's children like they don't matter at all. And it's no more anti-Semitic for me to say that than it is anti-white for me to say that black lives matter. Palestinian lives matter.
So this is a kind of nutcake. So I think we're going to retain control of the
Senate.
I think so, too.
I do have one quick question for you before we break. I saw a column in yesterday's New York Post, and it did raise my eyebrow. They interviewed a young black male, and he said, I am pro-Black Lives Matter, and I am pro-police. And I talked about it with Danielle, and I said, well, that can't be. And I read the column. Just save it. We'll talk about it later. Is it possible to be pro-Black Lives Matter and pro-police? More of Bernie and Sid on a Monday. So I had a really good conversation this weekend with a buddy of mine. Bernie, you've talked to this guy before, but you're going to meet him for the first time right here in studio tomorrow at 9 a.m. And his name is William DeMeo. And Willie had a small part in The Sopranos years ago.
Oh, yeah.
He's been in a bunch of other movies. Played the part of Sammy the Bull Gravano in that John Travolta Gotti movie. But now he has written, he writes, he directs, he produces. He's the main star in this series, Gravesend, which you can see the four episodes on Amazon Prime now. And Gravesend, of course, is a section in Brooklyn, right where I grew up. Know that section of Brooklyn very, very, very well. Long story short, we brought him on a couple of months ago, Bernie, because he promised me a role in the film, but it seemed like a long time ago, and it was. With the COVID, nobody was shooting, but now it's here, and they're going to start shooting the next eight episodes for Gravesend on Amazon Prime in February down in Miami / Fort Lauderdale. And according to William, who will be in studio tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., I'm in at least three, maybe four of those eight episodes. And my role is I'm actually a really good buddy of Dice, Andrew Clay.
And he's going to be on the show, too?
Well, Dice may be on this show later, but in
no,
the...
No, no, no. I mean, he's going to be on Gravesend.
Him and I are filming together. Me and Dice.
Dice man and Sid Rosenberg.
Dice and I turn out to be good buddies. And what's funny about that is I am Sidney Ferris Rosenberg from Quentin Road in Brooklyn. Dice is Andrew Silverstein.
That's his real name,
from Nostrand Avenue in Brooklyn. That's, yes.
Yeah.
Two geeky Jewish kids who grew up literally 10 minutes apart in the Midwood section of Brooklyn, and now two Italian tough guy wannabes acting together in the series Gravesend.
I'm over here now. That's pretty cool.
Isn't that great?
The Dice Man and Sid Rosenberg. Yeah,
me and
I love
Dice.
That.
So William's going to be here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. and just a little fun, you know. We get so bogged down in the serious stuff, the election and politics and the city falling apart. And now we have an opportunity to do some TV, a legitimate TV series with Dice. It's going to be fun.
You're going to be like, oh, my God. You're going to be so obsequious towards Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you're a starstruck guy to begin with.
Of course. So I told Chad on Saturday I'm going to have to take a week off because I'll do the show in the morning with you from a studio in Miami. And then in the afternoons, I have to go between Miami and Fort Lauderdale and tape with Dice for the TV show. So
that's very cool.
Nice,
yeah,
right?
I like that. Nice with Dice.
Nice with Dice. With that said, talking...
Back here in the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app, simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. And joining us about this time every Monday morning, we look forward to a conversation with a good friend, the editor of National Review and a contributor to Politico.com, NBC News. His name is Rich Lowry. Let's bring him in. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, now.
It's going to TGIM, Rich. You know that. It's true every Monday. But listen, Rich, well, a lot was Rudy Giuliani was all over the place. Let's see. You had Sidney Powell. And you also had a guy named Andy McCarthy, who I watched over the weekend. And you tweeted about, and he made some rational points, some that you seized on, justifiably so. Tell us about the status of the 2020 election.
Well, it just looks as though the current litigation isn't going anywhere. The Trump administration pared back its suit in Pennsylvania, and there's some question whether the remaining portions of it would affect a big enough number of ballots even to affect the outcome. And just my conversation with insiders, Trump insiders, you know, these are people, they're with Trump. They've been with him for years. They're kind of doubtful this is going anywhere. Now, Sidney Powell's talking about a Kraken, unleashing a Kraken. So if I see a Kraken, I'll be the first to say that's a Kraken. I'm just a little skeptical.
Wait.
We might end up with a mid-sized iguana or something
else.
Oh,
okay. I got you.
Well, I was working on that one. I was working on that one all weekend.
Oh, very good. Very good. Well, you wrote a story on Friday for the National Review, and it was titled The Completely Insane Electoral College Strategy. And you went on to say that above and beyond these lawsuits, which I agree with you, are going nowhere. They're going nowhere. This is complete pie in the sky. But above and beyond that, you say that the Trump team may be ready, willing, and able to do some stuff that may be kind of dangerous.
Yeah, so we'll see. The president hasn't endorsed this yet, but it's been floating around out there. And the idea is that state legislatures under the Constitution have the authority to determine how electors are selected for the Electoral College. So the theory would be it's constitutional for the state legislatures just to say, you know, in Pennsylvania, you know, we don't trust this result, so we're sending pro-Trump electors to the Electoral College, and it doesn't matter what the official outcome is. So this would be a radical step. It would be thermonuclear. Be the first time in American history we've experienced anything like this, or at least not since, you know, a contested election in the late 19th century. And I think it's unlikely to go anywhere. I think the majority leader of the state senate in Pennsylvania says, no, we're not going to do that. Even if they did do that, you'd have objections to these electors in Congress, and you'd need the Senate to kind of hold ground and say, no, these are the correct electors. And I think it's unlikely. That's unlikely to happen because you'd have Republican senators flaking off. So this would be a last-minute desperate throw that I think is unlikely to go anywhere and just shouldn't be pursued or even talked about, in my view.
Well, but you would agree, though, I think, and Alan Dershowitz has said that he thinks the president will prevail in the Supreme Court in a Pennsylvania lawsuit, but you just mentioned there may not be enough votes there. Rudy Giuliani says there are enough votes to overturn the Pennsylvania result, but in any case, there is more evidence now of voter fraud than there was of Trump-Russia collusion. Don't you think, don't you agree with that sentiment that a lot of people are expressing, especially Trump supporters, that we have to pursue all these legal avenues just for the sake of future elections and election integrity, if not for the sake of keeping President Trump in office?
Yeah, I mean, if there's concrete evidence of fraud, it should be pursued and tracked down and prosecuted. If, as is, and there's clearly some fraud. There's fraud in every election. If which I think is more likely, Democrats were kind of shrewd in tilting the playing field in their direction prior to the election, not in an illegal way, but in a legal way. Learn from that, figure out how to combat it, or figure out how to do it yourself. This, my understanding in California, this is basically what happened in 2018. You had all these House races that on election night, Republicans were ahead. Then the early vote was counted late, and Democrats pulled ahead. And this time around, Republicans said, all right, we're creating our own early vote operation. We're creating our own ballot harvesting operation, and won a lot of races in California. So definitely let's learn from what happened this year. It just seems unlikely to me that there's fraud at the level that's going to overturn the states that Trump needs.
Rich Lowry, National Review, NBC, Politico here for his regular Monday morning slot. So did Donald Trump concede this weekend or not? What was that?
No. I mean, I think it was that he said something in a tweet he didn't quite mean to. He should have put Biden one. You know, he should have put one in sneer quotes. And he quickly retracted.
Right.
So, but he's going to have trouble with this. You know, he also had trouble with it at his press conference when he almost referred to the next administration. Then kind of had to catch himself. So eventually, he too is going to have to admit that very likely he'll be leaving and Joe Biden will be coming in and going, as Bill O'Reilly told you guys Thursday, that going to a better basement, you know, an upgraded basement from Delaware to the White
House. Listening. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if the Giants can still be playoff contenders at this point, 3-7, the president still has a chance, in my opinion. But look, Rich Lowry,
I love the NFC East. I usually don't care about the NFC East. I don't have any dog in that hunt. But it's such a hilarious
position. It's unbelievable. It really is.
Yeah. You got to fight. If I fight to the bitter end, that's what that's the lesson from the New York Giants.
By the way, one point about that, if you add up all the wins from all four teams, Rich Lowry, inside the NFC East, all four, the Giants, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and Washington, it's only one more win than the Steelers have.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is utterly amazing. So listen.
So does anyone know what team has ever lost a division with the worst record?
I think there was 1 year a team went 7-9 maybe and won the NFC North, something like the Lions. But we'll have to double check. We'll have that for you next Monday,
yeah,
I promise.
Yeah. Don't put us on the spot like that, Rich.
I mean, no one's getting to 7-9. Is anyone getting to 7-9 in the East?
I doubt it.
look, Rich, the New York Times had to retract calling a New Jersey congressional race for this guy Malinowski, the Democrat. In other words, Tom Kane, it looks like he's going to actually win.
Yeah.
And also Burgess Owens is going to win in Utah. The president congratulated him over the weekend. So the point is this. The Democrats, President Trump had coattails. The Democrats are going to have the smallest majority in the House since the 1930s. So there's essentially a Democratic civil war going on. You have the race in Georgia with this guy Warnock disavowing Chuck Schumer. So the radicals versus the moderates, right? You have this going on. So is it possible that Nancy Pelosi will not be reelected as Speaker of the House because of all this?
I think it's possible. She probably gets through, but she's going to need some people who didn't vote for her last time to come around and vote for her this time. And this is what I urge my Trump friends. I know, bitterly disappointed what happened at the top, want to fight it to the last vote. But this was not a debacle for the party at all. And Trump played a role in probably holding the Senate. We'll see. You know, we need those Georgia races. But incredible gains in the House that no one expected. And actually, if Republicans had been playing a little less defense and hadn't been misled by the public polls and their own private polling and gone on offense, they very well could have won the House. You know, it's something no one expected. So this is a party that Trump has pointed away to a new coalition with more working class voters and is in a good position to block Joe Biden's agenda, at least the stuff he doesn't want to do unilaterally, and sweep Congress in 2022. So this is not a nightmare. You know, the most vehement anti-Trump people wanted a landslide, a personal repudiation of Trump in the party to be in ashes. That didn't happen.
Trumpism lives.
Yeah, it does. No question. Rich, as always, a terrific, terrific job. Thank you so much. We'll be reading your columns in the Nat Review, New York Post, all over the country all week long, and look for you on NBC. Great job. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rich.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
All right, Rich Lowry, his regular Monday appearance here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Still to come, we're going to talk to John Katsimatidis next hour. Also, Lydia reports on the latest on the Rick Moranis attack on the Upper West Side. And Beat Bernie coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, brought to you by Pete Morgan and our fine friends at Peerless Borders.
If I had a dollar every time that I swore you off.
There she is, Maren Morris, back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. A lot to come. Lot to cover as well, of course. They caught the guy who sucker-punched Rick Moranis. Honey, I just got sucker-punched in Central Park. They caught him, and turns out he was released on desk appearance tickets for previous assaults. Lydia's coming up. Lydia Serenai and the owner of WABC Radio, John Katsimatidis, on the election and many other things here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Keep it where it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Jones out of the gun. Hand off Gallman. Runs right into... No! Jones keeps it. He runs left to the 20. 10, 5, and he's in for the touchdown! 34 yards for Daniel Jones. He faked me out again. The Gallman and Jones goes around the left end, and this time he doesn't fall down, and it's a giant touchdown.
It's a dream come true. It's, you know, it's, as a kid, you know, always dreamed of... champion.
It's okay.
It's hard to talk.
You've earned this right.
But, you know, it's, you know, it's just incredible, obviously, as you can tell.
Cause dreaming can make you mine. I like dreaming. Closing my eyes and feeling fine. When the lights go down, I'm holding you so tight. Got you in my arms.
Yeah, that's how we started this morning, and I'll do it again now, 2 hours later. I like dreaming. Nice stuff, you know. Not all the rancor and nastiness and ugliness. Bob Papa. Fooled again. Daniel Jones, the quarterback of the Giants. He does a very good job making that handoff and holding on to the football. And this time he said he didn't fall down like he did with that 80-yard run against the Eagles a couple of weeks ago. Instead, Jones took it right to the end zone. And the Giants, the football Giants, beat the Eagles yesterday 27-17. Now you're saying, wait a second, wait a second. There's a lot going on. President Trump is getting robbed of an election, all the city stuff, people getting beat up all over town. What do you mean the Giants? Well, go take a look at the newspaper that Bernie and I protest to love every single day, the New York Post. And not the back cover, that's for sports. The front cover has one story and one story only. And that is that the 3-7 New York football Giants are now in the thick of things inside the NFC East. And by the way, with the Redskins at 2 wins, Dallas at 2 wins, and the Eagles also at 3 wins, that's 100% true.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but the front page of the New York Post is essentially a subliminal parable for the presidential race. Never give up.
Well, I'm glad you said that.
Because everybody had counted out the Giants and their playoff hopes.
That's right.
Just 3 weeks, as short as a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And, of course, prior to that. But now they're like, oh, my God, the Giants are in the playoffs.
They're in the race.
Never give up, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that
fight
was...
until the last shot is shot.
Punch. I don't know if the New York Post was trying to say that, but I certainly am. Dustin Johnson, another great story. He won the Masters yesterday, set the all-time record, 20 under par. He wins by 5 strokes. And when he was a little boy, Dustin Johnson, he told his dad that one day, Dad, I want to play in Augusta. I'd love to play at the Masters. He did win the U.S. Open 4 years ago. He's never won another championship. Yesterday was his second championship win, his first Masters win. 4 great days of golf. He shot a 68 yesterday, but a 65 on Thursday and Saturday. Highlighted, of course, by Wayne Gretzky's daughter, the beautiful Paulina Gretzky, running across the green to congratulate Dustin Johnson. And there's another dream that came true.
This guy's on top of the world right now. I mean, he is, but I you know, the blubbering in the clubhouse, you know, it's a little.
No, it was a big deal. I mean, look,
all right,
Tiger
all right.
Woods actually put the green jacket
yeah, I know,
on him.
I saw it.
People forgot, you know, again, I mentioned this earlier, but the Masters is every April. Well, we didn't play it back in April this year because of the COVID. They moved it to November. So the last time we saw the Masters was almost 19 months ago. And believe it or not, that was a Tiger Woods win, which was an amazing victory. It had been about 15 years since Tiger had won a major event. So Tiger put the green jacket on Dustin Johnson. He got the first Masters win ever. And one more sports note.
Wait, can I ask you a question? Has
sure.
Paulina Gretzky yeah. Tamed, has been tamed? Has she calmed down a bit? I mean, she used to be crazy.
So was Dustin.
These, with these, you know, I guess back then it was Instagram or Twitter photos.
Well, you saw
in other words, half-naked photos all over the place.
You saw how she went on the course yesterday, Byrne, wearing a belly shirt and like Lululemon black pants.
Dustin Johnson ain't exactly Tom Brady or Tim Tebow.
Well, he's not, but he's the number one golfer in the world. He's worth millions and millions of dollars. He's a big-time athlete.
You telling me she's a gold digger?
Yeah. And her father, Wayne, loves golf. One more sports note just to get the Trumpers going out there. Not only did Dustin Johnson realize the dream by winning the Masters, and Giant fans like me are now dreaming of a possible NFC East championship this year, but the end of the Buffalo Bills-Arizona Cardinals game, I know you saw that, Matt. Bills score a touchdown to go up with about 30 seconds left. Game is seemingly over. They get the ball back, Arizona. No timeouts. Last play of the game, Kyler Murray heaves the football about 55 yards up in the air downfield. And among three Buffalo Bill defenders, Cardinal wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins makes the most improbable and beautiful catch. And the Cardinals won the game. That's what's called a Hail Mary. No. And that's kind of what Donald Trump needs right now.
They're actually calling it a Hail Murray.
Right, that's very
and,
funny.
Take that, Rich Lowry. that's exactly right.
So the Cardinals could win the game on the last play, and the Giants can still win the NFC East, and Dustin Johnson can win the Masters, a dream as a little boy. That's all you need.
Never give up. Never roll over. Never stop. Keep fight until the last punch is thrown.
But it's over.
As Muhammad Ali said.
But it's over.
But then again, you refuse to learn the lesson of sports.
Right. I just gave you three great examples.
Right, exactly. And,
right.
And by the way, there's been many examples in the past of just these types of events happening. Underdogs, of course.
But the only difference is...
Odds down, chips down,
right.
Everything.
Look, the American hockey team. That's the biggest one of all.
Okay.
How did we win the gold in 1980 and beat the Russians? How did we do that? That almost had to be a miracle.
Well,
this would be an even bigger miracle.
Well, see,
if Trump wins this.
You brought it up. Alan Dershowitz had one of the most interesting theories, which is that the president could deprive, with these lawsuits, maybe he won't reach 270 himself, but he could deprive Joe Biden of reaching 70, in which case the vote would go to the House of Representatives, where each state gets one vote. And there are 26 Republican states, 23 Democrat states, one independent. So if all the Republicans vote Trump, he wins the election.
Well, we're going to talk to John Katsimatidis, our proud owner here at WABC. Does a couple of great shows himself, Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. He'll join us at 8:40 with his opinion on that stuff. And, of course, he's very, very close with Rudy Giuliani.
He had Rudy on his show yesterday. He had Rand Paul. He had Doug Collins, who was he lost to Kelly Loeffler.
Yes.
In the Georgia Senate race, which is now into a runoff with the Jew-hating, wife-abusing, America-hating, Jeremiah Wright-loving Warnock. He's a reverend. Reverend Raphael Warnock, who we played some audio of him earlier, and he's a real winner, this guy.
No, it's scary. It was scary. You know, I do get, I don't get upset. I don't really bother me, but Trump supporters that get mad at you, like if you've kind of moved on and you think Trump lost, which is me, they get mad at you. I don't get mad at you if you want to hold out hope and wake up every day and really believe in your heart of hearts he's going to win. Look, like I said a million times, I'll be the first to celebrate with you. I want Trump to win. I voted for Trump. I love Donald Trump. I want him to be the president. I can't stand Joe Biden, and I'm terrified of Kamala Harris. I've just decided for me, for my own mental health, it's better to move on because he's going to win Biden and not get wrapped up in this every day. But they get so mad at you. It's like you punch their sister across the face. You got to calm down.
Well, I guess the reason is what the Trump supporter has been through for the last 4 years.
Oh, God.
It's just been, you say,
the
oh,
Trump
God.
Supporter
but
put themselves through that. No
I'm
one
sorry?
Put them. The Trump supporter puts themselves through that. I understand the media is out to get Donald Trump, and people aren't nice. But it's not as if you had to fear for your life, leaving your house and going to work every single day, Bernie.
No. I'm talking about what they put the president through.
Yeah,
and by extension, what they put what they put us through. So to continue the fight now, I mean, would you put past these Democrats cheating after they spied on his campaign?
I've already told you.
The Trump-Russia collusion, the impeachment hoax, he's a Nazi, he's a racist, Charlottesville. Joe Biden blatantly came out and just said, Charlottesville, Trump said they were fine Nazis. We played the clip many times.
You've never heard me once say they didn't cheat. What I'm telling you is there's not going to be enough evidence to overturn a presidential election.
Maybe. But,
no, I'm telling you there's not going to be. I'm not leaving maybes. I'm black or white. And I'm telling you that on December 14th, Joe Biden's going to be the president. Now, if I'm wrong, fantastic.
Yes, and that's your opinion. And I say it's a possibility. He can still pull it out.
I'm not going to get mad at you for saying that.
Good, I appreciate that.
Why do people get mad at me if I voted for the guy and I genuinely like the guy, but I'm not going to.
I guess
that's mental masturbation. That's what it is for me.
I guess they're disappointed in you. I don't know. You have to ask them.
For what? What do you want me to do?
I don't know. Rolling over?
I'm not rolling over. And I'm not telling you that Donald Trump and his people shouldn't stop the fight. They should. But why do I have to delude myself every day?
You don't have to do anything. You do whatever you want. And,
right.
and they're going to react accordingly.
Even Jim Brewer's yelling at me now, the great comedian, who's like one of my best friends.
Listen.
You're going to lose this bet. We're going for dinner. I said, that's great. You find a restaurant that's going to be open with the COVID. We'll go for dinner.
When you're in a foxhole with a guy like President Trump, you stay there until the very end.
You're not in the foxhole.
I am in the foxhole.
No, you're not.
Absolutely am.
You put yourself there.
That's right. That's where I want to be. I want to be there with him and have his back until the bitter
end. Okay, so I hope on December 15th, if in fact it really does go to Joe Biden, that Donald Trump calls you and thanks you for staying in that foxhole.
He can't possibly call every supporter.
He can't, no.
Look at the love that you saw in Washington, D.C.
I saw it. It was great.
He can't possibly call all those people, but they love him and he knows it. So I'm not looking for a congratulatory phone call. I mean, it's just the right thing, in my opinion. And he's a guy that we love, who did so much for us, fought for us. And we're going to wait until the bitter end before we say, okay, you won.
Fair enough. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Lydia Reports is coming up next, the Rick Moranis story. Then we'll talk to John Katsimatidis and Beat Bernie coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Lots more to do. Keep it right here.
You think you know what this is, right, bro? You think you know what this is?
Why, is this like a
listen.
Weird Al Yankovic type of deal?
No, this is actually a great mashup.
Right.
You got House of Pain, and now you have... How great is that? And believe it or not, a little bit later on, AC/DC comes in. It is phenomenal. The algorithm on my YouTube channel with music, it thought I might like it, and they put it on, and I love it. I never even heard of it. It's 10 years old.
That's awesome.
It is fantastic.
This has been out for 10 years?
10 years, 2010.
Wow.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app, simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. Lydia is next. Just real quick, this is breaking news. This is huge. This Moderna, this company, this pharmaceutical company has come out with a vaccine that is not 90% effective, 95% effective, and you don't have to store it at minus 95 degrees. You can store it at 25 degrees. So you can put it in a regular refrigerator in the freezer section, and it stays good. This is huge. The stock market is skyrocketing. This all coming as, of course, the usual suspects are locking down. The governors of Washington, Oregon, Michigan, and Governor Cuomo itching to do it here. And, of course, undermining confidence in the vaccine, which he had to backtrack. We'll get into that later. But right now, it is time for...
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC.
Take it away,
Lydia Serrani.
Now it's time for the Benjamin Steakhouse, Lydia Reports. So I wanted to talk to you guys about Marquise Ventura. He's the guy that cops arrested on Saturday night for allegedly sucker punching Rick Moranis. You know, that famous guy who was in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and Ghostbusters or whatever. So
I actually had the chance to, he's actually a pretty good hockey player. And for three consecutive years, you remember this, Bernie, I coached the Christopher Reeve Foundation celebrity hockey game when Christopher and his lovely wife, Diana, were still alive. And he played for me for 3 years. Rick Moranis, he was on the same line for me as Gary Delabate and Kim Alexis, Ron Duguay's ex-wife.
Why it got to always be about you?
It's always about me.
It's always when it's not about Sid, it's still about Sid.
Hey, right. Come look at my muscles, man.
Rick Moranis on the ice, I can't see him getting into a hockey fight.
He actually scored a goal for me.
So they arrested this guy, Marquise Ventura, Saturday night at 96th and Broadway, which wasn't far from Central Park West and 70th, where on October 1st, he sucker-punched Rick Moranis, who's like, he's in his late 70s, so I don't know when he last played. Played hockey.
He's in his late 70s?
I'm sorry, 60s. He's 67.
Right, late 60s.
And so what's really, so this happened on October 1st when he punched Rick Moranis. So on October 17th,
by the way,
he was arrested.
He was a white guy in a MAGA hat, right?
Right.
Always.
On October 17th, he was arrested for randomly beating a guy on a platform. And then the guy's friend tried to intervene. He bit him. This guy's been arrested more than a dozen times, and the cops didn't even realize when he was arrested on October 17th that he was the same guy that punched out Rick Moranis.
The two people you're talking about, that was on a subway. That was a man and a woman, and he punched the woman in the face, and he broke her eye socket.
Well, no, that was another incident. That was on April 13th. So
So
the one I'm talking about was on October 17th, which was about 2 weeks after the Rick Moranis. Then April 13th, he punched a lady in the face, fractured her eye socket, pulled out a knife on a guy, and he was just basically given a desk appearance ticket. This guy has more than a dozen arrests, five of them felonies in Pennsylvania. There was an assault to a stranger over the summer. His lawyer at his Sunday night court arraignment said that, he's schizophrenic and he's not taking his medication.
Folks, this is what you elected to come into the White House.
So the system failed him. The system failed him. If you think about it, this guy was ill. This is what's happening when they're just arresting people and releasing them. The whole catch and release, because they're not getting that treatment that they need.
Excuse me. The system failed those people that were victimized by him.
And, of course, failed him and failed us.
Right.
Failed society.
You lock up the lunatics, A. You lock up the criminals, B. It's simple. Keep them, segregate them, incarcerate them, institutionalize them, and protect the innocent people out on the street.
But he needs help too. This guy is
sick. I just
said
that.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, what people are not realizing, it's almost inhumane to allow sick people to just go out and roam out on the streets. They need help.
Stipulated. But didn't Shirlene McCrae take care of all this?
I know, right? Where's Thrive? Where's Thrive? Where's
saying.
That billion-dollar program?
Right, he would be a guy that would obviously be in that program,
You would think. And so he was they're saying he's homeless, but then I'm looking at some articles. They're saying he lived on Charles Street.
I knew him. He was on Charles. He played in my softball.
No. I'm talking about the.
He scored two goals.
I'm talking about that guy.
Oh, you're talking about him. And also, over the weekend, I saw some video. I put it up on our Twitter page on WABC Radio. This 14-year-old autistic boy with autism, he was attacked by like three guys. One of the guys that attacked him looked to be handicapped.
I saw that.
Did you see that video?
Yeah, I saw.
And this was 11:30 in the morning on Lafayette Street. This poor 14-year-old boy, he's like attacked. They took his book bag. They took his jacket. This is New York. And meanwhile, you got King Cuomo going on and on about how he's going to sue the federal government, going on a book tour. And we've got real problems here.
He's doing a victory lap. Yeah, I saw that guy limping away from the he was a white guy in a MAGA hat too, right?
Another one. Exactly.
And by the way, there was a subway conductor, female subway conductor, sucker punched by another white guy in a MAGA hat.
Exactly.
Believe it or not. All these white guys in MAGA hats. I wonder,
the
police should profile those people, right?
By the way, just the Moderna.
You feeling me? You feeling me?
I'm feeling you. The Moderna vaccine, it was part of Operation Warp Speed.
Yeah. Yeah, President Trump.
Although Pfizer tried to play it off like they had nothing to do with it. They got $2 billion.
And all these announcements coming out just after the election.
What a coincidence.
I tell you, it ain't easy.
Well, they're going to end up giving Joe Biden credit for all these things.
Absolutely.
You know that, so.
Absolutely.
That's going to be really hard to swallow.
Get your lockdowns in now, ladies and gentlemen, because the pandemic is soon to be over.
Yep. Oh, and by the way, New Jersey, too, they've announced new restrictions.
Yeah, they're actually worse shaped than we are.
Michigan, of course, Chicago.
Oregon, Washington. The people who are...
all the red states.
They went easy on the looters and the anarchists in Washington and Oregon. They want to lock you down if you go, how dare you go outside? We'll throw you in jail for 30 days. But you can loot, you can riot, you can set up, love zones. What the hell was that in Portland?
Oh, that was
the zone. What they call
that? Seattle.
The Chaz zone.
Yeah. Anyway, that's your blue states for you. Lydia, you can follow Lydia every day. She's terrific as she is show. At Lydia News, and that's on Twitter and Instagram. What do you got?
And that was our Benjamin Steakhouse. Lydia reports, Benjamin Steakhouse, they're a cut above the rest. I love Benjamin Steakhouse. It's actually right down the road from me. They got amazing,
very, very
amazing steaks.
Lydia has a radio show Sunday nights at 6 o'clock as
Thank
well.
Thank you. Yes, yes.
All right. Sunday nights at 6. She was on last night and on this program every day at 8:25 and on with Curtis and Juliet as well every day. And that is a big story, obviously, here in New York City. We thank you for that. We'll take a short break. When we get back, he's the owner of this fine station, employs people like Lydia, Bernie, and myself. Our good friend, the great John Katsimatidis, talks election right after these words.
Somewhere beyond the sea,
you know, Frank Sinatra, Bobby Darin here, of course. Can't go wrong. What do you think of when you hear this song, Bernie? Quick.
Goodfellas.
There you go.
What else?
Just mob. Any type of mob stuff. Anyway, our next guest is the man that owns this station. He does a really terrific job on his own shows on Wednesdays and Sundays. Had a great show yesterday, including Rudy Giuliani and a host of others, Collins and a host of others. And he's got a very strong opinion on where this election is heading. So with that said, let's bring in our good friend, John Katsimatidis. John, Sid and Bernie, how are you, pal?
Sir.
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
We are doing very, very well. Excellent. You know how I feel, Sid. You know how Bernie feels about this election, where we are and what is going to happen. How do you feel now as we get closer and closer, John, to December the 14th?
Well, I listened to Sidney Powell yesterday, and we had Rudy Giuliani on our show, and he's been on a few other shows, too. And he's a regular on WABC Radio at 3 to 4 in the afternoon and 9 to 10 at night. And he's a very, very smart guy. And he feels there's two cases. There's the legal case that has to go through the court system. And then there's the case about the Dominion computer system, whether it's corrupt, has it been corrupted? I understand on... that the Department of Justice and the FBI are on it. I understand that the our legal system, whether it was the FBI or might be CIA because it was international, in Spain, took possession of certain computers. Now, what I said to Rudy last night, on that end, if the Department of Justice and the FBI is on performs their job and that they determine that you are right, that the system has been corrupted and the votes were cooked, then it's possible for Donald Trump to be the next president. On the legal system, I'm not a lawyer. I'm only an amateur lawyer. The legal system has to go through its own process. So just to get everybody straight, it's two different areas. It's not the same. It's two different ones. And my position, and it's always been, let's go through the process. I had Senator Joe Lieberman on, who was Al Gore's running mate back in 2000. Or was it 2000. My God.
I know.
And they took till December to sort things out. And my position is, let's sort things out. Give it time. Let's not rush. Let's make sure every American feels good about the election. And if the Supreme Court doesn't do anything or doesn't feel there's anything wrong, if the Electoral College does their job and the legal system does their job, Justice Department does their job, whoever the President of the United States is on December 14th on Electoral College votes, I will salute the President of the United States like every American should.
I like that. John Catsimatidis, the owner of WABC Radio, and all-around a magnet, I would say, a grocery store magnet, real estate, all these things. The legal case you talked about, John Catsimatidis, and you alluded to Sidney Powell. She was the lawyer for General Kelly. She's now on Trump's legal team. She says that this Dominion voting software company is owned by a company called Smartmatic, and a guy who sits on the board of Smartmatic is on Joe Biden's transition team. I mean, that really stinks. My question to you, John Catsimatidis, are we...
It's owned by two Venezuelans.
Right.
Also.
Oh, yes. Even worse.
It stinks. I would like to go, I think, whatever happens in this election, I think we go back to the old-fashioned machines.
Yep.
That you vote, and every machine is counted, and that's it. These computer systems, they can be corrupted by super nuclear-minded scientists or computer operators. They can be cooked, and the average American will never know because not that the FBI or whatever is not smart enough. There's a lot of smart guys out there. Don't trust the computer systems. Let's go back to the old-fashioned voting machines.
Absolutely. Now, as the owner, John Catsimatidis, of 77 WABC, are we calling Joe Biden president-elect on this station?
Well, you know, I don't think he's been elected yet.
All right.
I think Joe Biden is ahead of the curve right now, and he may be well elected. But like I said, on December 14th, we will salute the president.
Yes.
Now, I know that, John, you had a nice back and forth with Phil O'Reilly the last couple of days, moving away from the election and talking about something local, which Lydia just talked about, this Marquise Ventura guy who sucker punched Rick Moranis. And you and I actually emailed each other yesterday, John, and we talked about a breakdown in the system that is certainly unfair to us, the folks who just want to get through our days safely. But even this guy who's had, a career of criminal activity. I know that you and Bill O'Reilly talked about this, the breakdown in this city allowing these people to stay out there.
Sid, let me tell you, Sid, the system is broken. These people in New York call themselves progressives. They call themselves liberals. They're full of dog doo-doo. They're not. They have allowed 30,000 people that were in hospitals to be on the streets of New York as homeless. Like Lydia said, these people should be in hospitals being taken care of. Maybe there should be a hospital at Rikers Island that takes care of people the right way.
Yep.
And also, if people commit crimes with guns, people commit crimes with knives, threaten citizens of New York, people are not running away from New York City because of COVID. They're running away because they're scared stiff to walk around the streets of New York, the Upper West Side, the Upper East Side, and that's why they're moving. There's 300,000 extra residents in Suffolk County right now, and I'm driving in from Suffolk County, than there was before. And it's really very, very sad. These people calling themselves liberals, these people calling themselves progressive, they're full of dog doo-doo. That's the nicest way I can say it on radio.
That's beautifully put. Listen, yep. John Catsimatidis, owner of WABC Radio on the Bernie and Sid Show. There's more great news out there on the vaccines. It is fishy that this news comes after the election. However, my question to you is, Governor Cuomo politicizing the distribution of the vaccines, kind of backtracking and now settling on, well, the distribution is racist. I mean, Governor Cuomo, give us your thoughts on him and what he's doing.
I know the Cuomo family for many, many years. Matilda Cuomo and me celebrate our birthdays, Virgos, and we've celebrated together many times. Andrew Cuomo is a common sense guy, usually. Now, I am very, very disappointed that he is trying to make the progressives and the liberals happy. And I'm not talking about progressives and liberals in a way that liberals have always been. Liberals care about people. They don't care about they don't care about politics. We are New Yorkers. We are Americans. We care about common sense solutions, not about what job am I going to get next in the administration.
There you go. Nicely perfectly said. All right, listen, John, for next Thursday for Thanksgiving, I want to implore all of our listeners to go to D'Agostino's. There's one right here, by the way, on 75th and Lex. Or, of course, Christiti's. I shop at the one on 103 and Broadway. Get all of your Thanksgiving needs, right? All of it at Christiti's and D'Agostino's. You guys have some great sales. That's where you get your Thanksgiving stuff.
I was on CBS 2 television yesterday and on NBC.
Yep.
And there's shortages are starting to arise. And my advice to all customers are buy early and don't. We have enough supplies right now, but if there's hoarding, there could be a problem. Buy early and don't disappoint your family during Thanksgiving.
John, that's a great job.
I saw that on Channel 2.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you. Thank you. Your shows are great. You're doing a great job here with Bernie and I. We love when you come on. So have a great Monday, John. We'll see you again real soon. Yeah. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Take care. There he is, the owner of our great station. He's really done a tremendous job, really has, with the weekday lineup and the weekend lineup and the music on Saturdays with Tony Orlando, of course, and Cousin Brucey. That is John Catsimatidis. WABC is alive and well again. We'll take a short break. Still lots more to do. Bernie and Sid.
Jump around.
Does that not give you goose pimples?
That is great.
Isn't it
that
something?
Is great.
What's it called again, Matt? We Will Jump You.
We Will Jump You.
We Will Jump You. House of Pain, Queen, and AC/DC from 10 years ago. I can't believe it. Never heard it before. So anyway, back on the Bernie and Sid Show, we heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. We're also simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. And you give us a call right now. We'll take your calls. 1-800-848-9222 on anything you heard in the previous 3 hours regarding, local thuggery being excused and a desk appearance tickets being handed out to violent lunatics. Or the presidential race, the presidential election, which John Catsimatidis said, let it play out. Let it play. Let's wait until, December 14th. Let the legal challenges go forth. Or you can talk about the vaccine and Governor Cuomo politicizing the distribution of the vaccine. Now, he made that announcement last Wednesday. And by the way, there's great news out from Moderna. I'm sure we mentioned it last hour. Deb mentioned it in the news. The Moderna vaccine. This thing is not 90% effective. It's 95% effective, and it doesn't have to be stored at minus 95 degrees. It can be stored at 25 degrees. In other words, in a regular freezer that you have at home. It can last a long time, but you still need to take two shots. That is, I guess, one hitch. Still, it's a great thing. The stock market is skyrocketing. But this hatred for President Trump is just off the charts with Andrew Cuomo. He says last Wednesday, I'm not going to distribute the vaccine till we do our own study. So the president said, okay. He said, you don't want the vaccine? We won't give it to you. And that had Governor Cuomo flailing around because the president also said this on Friday.
Governor Cuomo will have to let us know when he's ready for it. Otherwise, we can't be delivering it to a state that won't be giving it to its people immediately. And I know the people of New York very well. I know they want it. So the governor will let us know when he's ready. He's had some very bad editorials recently about this statement and what's happened with respect to nursing homes and his handling of nursing homes. And I hope he doesn't handle this as badly as he's handled the nursing homes.
Well, it's exactly what he was doing because he was catching a lot of heat saying, what are you doing? People are saying, we need this vaccine. Just get it over here. By the way, it's not being distributed by Jared Kushner or Don Jr. or, Corey Lewandowski. This is the NIH, the CDC, the military, Admiral Girouard, who's distributing the vaccine. That's who's distributing it. So Cuomo concocting this Trump vaccine, it's not safe. It's absolutely insane. It's lunacy is what it is. And he knew it. He caught heat. And he was just like I said, he was flailing around for an excuse, a rationale for why he's delaying the distribution. He said this, though. He did a 180 by Friday night on one of the fake news channels. He did a 180. Take a listen.
The day they distribute the vaccine, we will be ready to start the distribution. Our review of the FDA protocol will be simultaneous concurrent with their delivery. We're not going to have any lag in time.
No lag. That's a complete 180 from what he said earlier in the week. But
really is.
By Sunday, after that flip-flop, by Sunday, he settled on a rationale. He settled on a rationale for why he opposed the Trump distribution plan in the first place. And it was racism, folks. Take a listen.
President talks about CVS and Walgreens and national chains. Sure, but they are mainly located in rich communities, not in poor communities.
Is he not? He's a homicidal psychopath. Forget a smug thug. He's out of his mind. It took him all week. It took him 5 days to come up with the racism thing. There's not enough CVSs in the black neighborhoods. That's why I said what I said 5 days ago. It took me 5 days to figure it out, though. Ay, ay, ay. So, listen, over the weekend, Pelosi, Nadler, and none other than Schumer, Pelosi, and Nadler, they came around. They're on the side of President Trump. They think all avenues should be investigated in this election debacle. Listen to what they said.
This is about undermining the integrity of our elections.
This is a continuing threat to the integrity of our elections.
The threat to our election integrity coming up goes on. It's a clear and present danger.
Leaders from both sides of the aisle should be joining together now to ensure the integrity of the election.
Now, of course, that was
2016.
My bad, folks. My apologies. And also these calls, these laughable calls by Joe Biden and others on the left, the Democrat side, for unity and just accept the election and shut up. Well, here is a couple of people. You have among them, you have Fredo. You have, listen to this, Fredo, Sonny Hostin, and a couple others. Listen.
We have to collectively, in essence, burn down the Republican Party. We have to level them, because if there are survivors, if there are people who weathered this storm, they will do it again.
I don't think that those people should be able to profit from their experience within the Trump administration, and I don't think that they should be forgotten.
Remember the people who are enabling this fraud. They must answer for defending Trump's delusions.
So this is not.
It gets better.
This is not uncommon. This is Fredo, and that the first one was this crazy pussy hat wearing nutcake from the Washington Post, Jennifer Rubin. They want to name and shame. They want to take lists. They actually want to throw people in concentration camps. It appears from the way they're speaking. Again, AOC, Robert Reich, a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. This is not uncommon. So when Joe Biden says, accept the results of the election and let's all unify around me, I'm sorry, we're not buying it. We were going to have on today this lady. We had her on Friday at Real Tina. At Real Tina 40, I believe it
40,
is.
40, yeah.
Tina, Real Tina 40. And anyway, her voice is shot. She was at the rally down for Trump in D.C. And, of course, the usual Biden-supporting fascists showed up. And they attacked real peaceful protests. I mean, these were actual peaceful protests. And the Biden supporters, the crazy fascists out there, they attacked them. As soon as the sun went down, they attacked them. There was a lot of violence. The media ignored it. I had to go on Twitter. The only way I really knew how bad the violence was seeing all these videos on Twitter. That's the only way I knew. That's the only way I found out. And so it was really bad. But again, at Real Tina 40, she was there and her voice was shot today. So she won't be with us today. She'll be with us tomorrow.
Probably tomorrow, yes.
But there is a woman who is a Real Tina 40 with a law degree, a TV show, and a radio show on WABC Radio, and her name is Justice Jeanine Pirro, and here she is on accepting the results of the rolling over and accepting the results, and B, on these calls for unity.
And with all due respect, the left boycotted President Trump's inauguration. They marched in Washington in their pussy hats and had a hissy fit for 4 years. For 3 years, we heard he was an illegitimate president, that Russia tipped the scales in his favor, that he was a Putin puppet, that he was a fascist. He was impeached over a legitimate phone call. It was nothing more than a political move. The group that brought us resist, impeach, and burn down cities extorted us with their chaos. Oh, no. We will pursue all legal avenues where there are irregularities, anomalies, illegalities, and corruption. And until the certification and the electors vote, that is not a lot to ask. So don't you dare ask us to just accept it and move on. And don't you dare tell me I'm being un-American by questioning what even a Supreme Court justice has put a hold on. And don't you dare ask us to go quietly into the night.
You tell him, Justice Jeanine. You tell him.
That was very good.
You got to love her, man. Listen, John is in Rockland County. Good morning to you, John.
Hey, good morning, Bernie. Good morning, Sid. Yes, so listen, I wanted to just pass this on. President Trump is asking all registered voters who voted for him to hand write a letter to him demanding that the Supreme Court audit the 50 states for this election. He needs this so he could take it as evidence to the Supreme Court. I'm not sure if you're aware of that or not.
No, I was not, but there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Write that letter. Do what you can. Go to DonaldJTrump.com, by the way. That's where you can contribute and learn more facts. Thank you for that, John. Linda is in Lower Manhattan. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey there.
Always good on my TGIM, Linda. Thank you.
Yeah. So listen, you know what? The first place they put these big chains, these Walgreens, these CVSs, these Targets, all those big chains are in the lower income neighborhoods because they roped them in over there. But there's none left in those neighborhoods because Black Lives Matter and Antifa and those crazy maniacs burnt them to the ground.
That is an excellent point. You know why it's an excellent point, Linda? Because I made it earlier. And it's actually very, very accurate. Yeah, they're burning down their own neighborhoods. Black Lives Matter, burning down CVS. You see them looting on TV. Looting them, burning them down. That's one reason why they're not in these Cuomo's black, quote unquote, black and brown neighborhoods. By the way, did you know that the South Bronx Latinos majority, I believe, went for Donald Trump?
Yeah.
That came out of South Bronx Latinos. Let's go to Susan in Brooklyn. Good morning, Susan.
Guys, I'm really frustrated. Just hearing Sidney Powell over the weekend with the fabulous Jeanine Pirro, as well as on Sunday morning with Maria,
right,
that she is not only a brilliant lawyer, she is a patriot. And she says she does not say things she cannot prove. And she has the proof that millions of votes were fraudulently done switch.
Right. In other words, the Dominion software and the Smartmatic, which owns Dominion, and the guy who was on the board of Smartmatic is also on Joe Biden's transition team. Yes, she exudes confidence, and she gives me some hope as well. Sidney Powell, who was General Kelly's lawyer, now working for the Trump administration, and Rudy Giuliani, who, by the way, they try to dismiss by saying he's nuts, he's this and that, he's... That guy is whip smart, sharp as a tack, hasn't lost anything off his fastball whatsoever, and he's confident as well. So we're going to see what happens, folks. 1-800-848-9222 on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Springsteen songs off of the Born in the USA album. This is Bobby Jean. We're going to play Beat Bernie coming up. Always fun. Fans seem to love it. Coming up in about 10 minutes. Brought to you by our dear friend Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Boilers. In fact, we're looking for a contestant right now. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Your chance to beat Bernie coming up momentarily. Let's go to Bill. He's in New York on line three. Something different. Not Trump. Not election fraud. Sounds like football. What's going on, Billy?
Hi, Sid. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, pal?
Yeah, I'm great. I bought your book several years ago when it came out.
Oh, you're the guy.
Yeah.
You know, that book is still available, You're Wrong and You're Ugly, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Cheaper than a slice of pizza. But thank you, Bill.
Yeah, by the way, Bill, I'm fine, too. Thanks.
Yeah, Bernie, I really, well, love both of you guys.
Thank you.
From the Imus days. Bernie, I saw you two of your live appearances, one at the... at the Stanford Center when you were the opening act for Rob Bartlett, and then another time when you an appearance at the Galleria Mall in White Plains.
Yes, I barely remember each event, but the one in Stanford was one hell of a doozy. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I enjoyed them very much. When you were talking earlier about the way. The NFC East was going this year, and you spoke to Rich Lowry about it. You were wondering if any team in the past had won in the NFL had won a division under 500 several years ago. I don't remember the exact year.
The Seattle Seahawks won the NFC West, I think, at 7-9 a couple of years ago.
I think it was Carolina.
Okay,
won at 7-8-1, and actually they actually did win their opening round playoff game, but then they lost in the next round.
There you go.
So it has happened.
Well, it's going to happen again, Bill, because again the Eagles are 3-5-1, and they're not good. They're bad. In fact, Carson Wentz is a terrible quarterback at this point. Giants are 3-7. Dallas is 2-7, and Washington is 2-7. So somebody's going to have to emerge from that NFC East, and the overwhelming odds that team will be playing less than 500 football at the end of the year. Here he is, the great chef from Café du Soleil on the Upper West Side by my apartment, Robert Parchment. Good morning, Chef Robert. How are you?
Good morning, Sid. Good morning, Bernie.
Hello, Robert.
How you doing, pal?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, great.
Oh, boy. So, Bernie, we got to stop weeping.
We got to stop what, Robert?
We got to stop weeping. You know, we can't let them keep us down. We got to move on. You know what I mean?
I hear you, bro.
Have you moved on? You moved on from the Trump thing? Are you still holding out hope and watching the news every day?
Sid, I'm like you. I got to move on. You see where I'm working, right? Every day they come in, it's a bell ringing. You know, I'm like crazy.
You know, it is true. They'll kill you.
I got to move on.
Yeah,
no,
you have no choice. You have no choice up there. I know, Robert. Thank you for the phone call. Upper West Side. They don't give you the benefit of the doubt, I'll tell you that. Like I said that morning, that Saturday morning, I was in the park in Riverside Park, and I heard cars honking and screaming from the roofs, and I'm like, oh, my God, like the Mets just won the World Series. And as it turned out, CNN or somebody announced that Joe Biden had been the president-elect, and the celebrations were it was a bit too much for me. I actually went inside my apartment and locked the door.
They're the same people that are cheering on the violent anarchists in the streets down at the Trump rally.
They are, if not being some of them themselves.
Yeah.
Here's Tom in a wonderful place, West Milford, New Jersey, on line 6. Good morning, Tommy.
Morning, Sid.
How you doing, pal?
I'm actually on hold to beat Bernie.
Oh, you're going to play. Okay, good. Stay on hold. He is a web developer. His name is Tom out of West Milford, New Jersey. So should we go to Teacher June one more?
Hell yeah, we should.
All right. Teacher June is in New Jersey on line 4. Good morning, Teacher June. Hello, June.
Yes, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Hi. Did you guys hear, I heard from a businessman that Dominion is partially owned by Nancy Pelosi's husband?
Yes.
Yeah,
I mentioned that last week.
And Dianne
Feinstein. That's right.
Yeah, Dianne Feinstein's husband has a big donation to it also.
And, of course, I mentioned Sidney Powell pointed this out yesterday. This guy that's on the board of the company that owns Dominion, this Smartmatic, he's also on Joe Biden's transition team. The whole thing is very fishy.
All right, we're going to take a short break when we get back. It is time to beat Bernie. Tom in West Milford, New Jersey is our contestant today. Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers brings you Beat Bernie, and that's coming up next on Bernie and Sid.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
All right, it's time to beat Bernie on this Monday morning. The very popular game show, Beat Bernie, here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. We've already talked to Tom last segment. He's back. He's today's contestant out of West Milford, New Jersey. It's Tommy. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, Sid. I'm doing great.
You're a web developer. That means that anybody who needs a website basically should call you.
Yeah, I could use the work. I'm actually unemployed because of COVID since March, but yeah.
Oh, my God. I would think that more people need more online stuff because of the COVID. I would think it'd be even busier, no?
I think it's going to pick up.
Okay. Well, hopefully it does for your sake. Either way, good luck in today's game. You know how the game works. 5 questions to you. Bernie gets the same 5 questions, and we'll see who wins. Okay, Tommy, here we go. Here's number 1, pal. Former New York Governor Eliot Spitzer resigned as governor in March of 2008 amidst a prostitution scandal. Upon Spitzer resigning, who became the governor of New York?
Patterson.
That's right. Very good. David Patterson. Number 2, Tommy, which of the founding fathers of the United States invented bifocal glasses?
Benjamin Franklin.
Yes! Tommy off to a fiery start, 2 for 2. Here's number 3, Tom. In 1987, the Stars and Stripes Forever was designated as the official march of the United States. Who composed it?
The composer was John Philip Sousa.
Look at you! 3 for 3. Tom putting all the pressure on Bernard. Here's number 4. In the U.S. presidential election of 1968, which Democratic candidate did Richard Nixon defeat?
George McGovern.
Not a bad guess.
Like a bag of anthrax, could be Jesus.
3 out of 4. Now, you get this right, though, and Bernie's got to get all 5 right to beat you. Still off to a terrific start here. How do you spell the word rapport, as in a friendly relationship? You and I, Tommy, we've got a great rapport.
We do. R-A-P-P-O-R-T.
Look at you. Unbelievable job there. Tommy out of West Milford, New Jersey, gets 4 out of 5 right, puts all the pressure on Bernard. Now Bernie's got to get all 5 right to win today's game, which he can do and has done, well, more than often. Most of the time, Bernie goes 5 for 5. It's going to take a 5 for 5 today, Bernie, for you to win today's game.
Oh,
are you ready to go?
Boy. No way to start a Monday.
He got 4 right. I know. He was very, very good. Here's number 1, Bern. Former New York Governor Eliot Spitzer, resigned as governor in March of 2008 amidst a prostitution scandal. Upon Spitzer resigning, who became the governor of New York?
Nelson Rockefeller. No, David Patterson.
There you go. Number 2, Bern. Which of the founding fathers of the United States invented bifocal glasses?
Benjamin Franklin.
Very good. Number 3, Bernie. In 1987, the Stars and Stripes Forever was designated as the official march of the United States. Who composed it?
John Philip Sousa.
Well, both of you went 3 for 3. Here's where Tommy went sideways. So if you can get this right, you'll be in range to win it. Here's number 4, Bernie. In the U.S. presidential election back in 1968, which Democratic candidate did Richard Nixon defeat?
1968,
yes.
That was Hubert Humphrey.
Very good. Out of the great state of Minnesota. By the way, my cousin beat his son twice. That's a big deal. And now, your chance to go 5 for 5 and once again win today's game, Bernard. How do you spell the word rapport, as in, well, you and I, Bernie, you've got a great rapport.
Rapport. R-A-P-H-O-R.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax, should be Jesus.
That is incorrect. You actually spell rapport R-A-P-P-O-R-T. So in the end, both gentlemen got 4 out of 5 correct. We played to a tie today. And usually when we play to a tie, we give the contestant the win. I'm not sure why we do that.
Not the win, no, but they get the swag bag.
So they get the swag bag. Yeah. Tom in West Milford, New Jersey. Say hello to Bernard.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Bernard. Great job, man. And I'm sorry I messed up that Humpty clue.
Yeah, no, man.
I was around then. I remember 68.
And I should have known rapport as well. But we all fall short, Tom. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I'm glad I got the chance to go against you, man.
Well, you did a damn good job. Where are you out there? In West Milford, New Jersey. Which county is that?
Yeah. Which county? It's Upper Passaic County.
Is that where that race between Tom Kane and Malinowski is going down?
No, sir. Nope.
Oh, I see. Is that Mikey Sherrill's congressional district?
That's right next door. Yeah, we're in Gottheimer territory.
Oh, too bad.
Well, Tommy, great job here today. Thank you so much for listening and playing, and good luck to you and your business as well. Take care, pal.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, guys.
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Been a busy Monday on the Bernie and Sin in the Morning Show. We'll come back and wrap things up right after these words.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app, simulcast on Eastern Long Island News Talk 107.1 FM. You know, I love this Candace Owens. She says, she slams Harry Styles. She says, bring back the manly man.
Oh, I like Harry Styles.
Yeah, but...
I like Adore You. That's a good song.
He ain't no manly man.
No, he ain't no manly man. That's true.
She says, there is no society that can survive without strong men. And, of course, that's what they're trying to do. The feminization of men over the past 5 to 10 years. Well, you know, you got to get rid of this, quote-unquote, toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
What the hell do you think won us World War II? What do you think won us all these wars?
Whatever.
I mean, if you didn't have toxic masculinity.
Of course.
I mean, please. Come on. So we'll get rid of our toxic masculinity, and the bad guys will keep theirs, and they'll kick our ass.
Yeah.
Candace Owens. And speaking of getting your ass kicked, everybody's talking about Rick Moranis. They caught the dude that sucker punched them. Lydia was on this morning talking about it. We talked about it earlier, of course. But in conjunction with that, there was a story, front page New York Post yesterday, of people fleeing the city in droves. And I maintain, of course, it's not the COVID lockdowns necessarily.
No, it's not.
It's the danger.
Right.
It's the crime. People could weather the COVID lockdown, which apparently are not apparently. They're going to end, as Dr. Nicole Sapphire said, by early summer 2021, maybe sooner. But with this news of the vaccines, now the Moderna vaccine, which is even better than the Pfizer one, they're going to end. But it's the danger. And, of course, Moranis got sucker punched by a white guy in a MAGA hat, of course. But my point is that a lot of people are getting sucker punched, assaulted, robbed, and I'm sure they're not even reporting it. I mean, just walking around out there is very, very dangerous. So that's why these people are fleeing. And you see also, I don't know if you saw this, the videotapes of these people on the Upper West Side fighting over parking spots.
Yeah.
I mean, this one person was able to tape 2 incidents at the same time. That's amazing. And you know, when you think about it, what they're doing is they're taking away spots, just generally speaking, with the bike lanes. It's just an anti-fossil fuel crusade is what it is. But in addition to that, these outdoor dining venues, what they're doing is they're building tents outdoors is what they're doing. It's still indoors. They're putting heaters in tents outdoors, and they're taking away parking spots.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're really squeezing people, even though these people are moving out of the Upper West Side in droves.
Yeah, but they're still there. Like my wife, for example, went back to work, but before she did, she would sit in a car for an hour and a half every Friday morning, literally 90 minutes,
right,
to make sure she gets the spot, and would still almost have a fist fight almost every Friday.
That's terrible.
Boy, my
That's
son terrible. Is, I got to tell you, we had dinner at Serafina's on Friday night on the Upper West Side on 105 and Broadway, and we sat in one of these built tents.
Yeah.
He was terrified the whole time. He was so uncomfortable because he was nervous that a car would like veer out of control or would hit us.
Or some Black Lives Matter guy would come and say my name, bitch.
Yeah, we haven't had that, but at any rate, it made for we had to move Gabe like three or four times throughout the dinner because he was so uncomfortable.
Terrible.
Besides the fact it was very cold on Friday night.
Yeah.
We don't live in a tropical climate, New York City. It doesn't lend to outdoor dining come this time of year.
It's so stupid. And they're even going to shut this down. They're going to lock down while they can. They're going to lock down while it lasts until the vaccines kick in and the thing goes away, because it's all about control and power. And the usual suspects, as I pointed out earlier, the state of Oregon, state of Washington, the state of Michigan, New Jersey, and now New York. Governor Cuomo's just itching to give the order for a blanket lockdown. But again, back to the parking, just right here where we are. We're on 3rd Avenue. We come in here in the middle of the night. I do, drive in 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. You would think that when the city is as empty as it is now, especially, you can find a parking spot. You still can't find a parking spot at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning.
I have the same issue when I go.
That's just wrong.
Home to Brooklyn in the middle of the day.
Yeah, is wrong.
But yours is more wrong. You're absolutely right that in the middle of the night you can't find parking. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is.
By the way, I remember back when I lived in Yonkers. I moved to Yonkers when I was 16. Southwest Yonkers. We had the same problem with parking. We would drive around for a half hour looking for a damn spot. But it was bad because it was a very congested area. Whatever. Now, listen, just quickly to Maria Bartiromo, who is bucking. By the way, a lot of these people at Fox News are just angry. Fox News' stock has dropped 6%. 6%, and they're bleeding viewers in every show except the pro-Trump shows, the primetime lineups, during which they're getting like 5 million people per show. For example, Hannity and Tucker, 5 million viewers. That's incredible. People like Cavuto and the rest of these shows are going down the tubes, down the tubes. Now, Maria Bartiromo, she's all in. She was in yesterday big time. She had on Rudy Giuliani, which nobody else will put on. She had Sidney Powell, as John Catsimatidis mentioned earlier on the show. But she's also jumped to this social media site called Parler, which is actually created by Dan Bongino. She jumped ship from Twitter. Actually, she's still on Twitter, but she entered Parler on November 6th, the day before the election.
Yeah.
Immediately
November 6th was after the election.
Oh, that's right, 3 days after. I'm thinking 7th. That was November. That was back in the glory days of 2016.
right.
Yeah, you're right. It was three
Parler,
days.
By the way, is spelled P-A-R-L-E-R, not O-R, P-A-R-L-E-R. I've been invited to go on it a million times the last couple of weeks.
Invited?
But I'm not going to do it.
You don't have to be invited.
Yeah, no, but there are people in the business that say, Sid, come on, Paul. I'm like, no.
Well,
no,
anyway,
she
got a million of viewers immediately, and that seems to be the place.
Followers, yeah.
Followers.
Yeah.
That seems to be the place to go.
Well, for conservatives, if you're a real conservative, then that's where you belong.
But CNN says Parler is a threat to democracy. Listen to what Brian Stelter from CNN and some crackpot pussy hat wearing a nutcake. Listen.
There's this new social media app called Parler getting a lot of attention because conservatives are saying they're leaving Twitter and Facebook, going off to Parler because they believe Parler is a safer space for them. Oh. What we're seeing is even more of a bunker mentality in right-wing media. And ultimately, that's not good for the country.
Bro. But by the way, it was the woman who Matt inadvertently cut out. The woman after him said that it's a threat to democracy. But the reason why I wanted to play that was because this is funny. Some dude actually altered Stelter's voice. He's already has a high-pitched voice. And he altered it a little more just to make it funny, saying the same thing. Take a listen.
There's this new social media app called Parler getting a lot of attention because conservatives are saying they're leaving Twitter and Facebook, going off to Parler because they believe Parler's a safer space for them. What we're seeing is even more of a bunker mentality in right-wing media, and ultimately that's not good for the country.
and then the woman goes again, yes, Brian, it's a threat to democracy. yeah, everything's a threat to democracy. Everything, oh, my God, it's horrible, it's horrible, it's horrible. Here's your fake news, CNN. Well, we had a great show, Sydney.
Great we did have a great
morning
show.
Program.
We
it was
did.
A lot of fun.
Rich Lowry was great, and John Dotson-Matidis was great. Real Tina just texted me, said she's been drinking tea all morning, hasn't talked. Her voice is already much better. She looks forward to joining us tomorrow.
She was at the Trump rally, which is why that is the case.
Yes.
Screaming her guts out.
She'll be on tomorrow. We got a great show tomorrow, too. She'll be here. Bo Dietl will be here. William DeMeo from Gravesend. He'll be here. Got a great week ahead, too. So keep it right here. Bernie and Sid, 6 a.m. every weekday morning. It's a gorgeous day today. Sunny, cool, but a beautiful day. Go enjoy your Monday. We'll all be back again for you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. From all of us to all of you. Peace!